Investment Flash.
Markets just got a blunt reminder. It's the Fed's world. We're just trading in it. Today, a dollar at new highs, a gold rout, and European banks making moves.
I'm Marie with Tom and Gerald. It's Saturday, June 20th, the weekend edition. Good morning. And Gerald, I'm already bracing for your take on this dollar strength.
Yeah, look, it's not complicated. When a new Fed chair says no rate cuts, the dollar grins. Our buy call on the dollar ETF from yesterday is aging nicely.
And Nvidia, buddy, that buy call printed again. 2 days in a row, momentum is back.
All right, but the real story is what Warsh's hawkishness means for everything else. Gold got whacked, bonds are on the floor, and somehow Europe is having a moment. Let's get into it.
So, Kevin Warsh, no cuts, despite what President Trump wants. Market Watch called it a step change in dollar sentiment. The dollar index at a 52-week high. Gold down nearly 3% year to date. Goldman slashed its gold target by $500 to $4,900.
Hold on. That Goldman cut is after gold already dropped 24% from its peak. That's a lagging indicator, not a call. And the long-duration Treasury ETF, TLT, is sitting right at its 52-week low, with shorts piling in. Any dovish hint from Warsh's task forces could trigger a monster squeeze.
Wait, so you're saying the crowded trade is actually short bonds and long dollars? That's a powder keg.
Exactly. The task forces Greg Robb wrote about could delay rate changes until December, which gives bonds a breather. Markets are acting like the Fed is already hiking. It's a positioning risk.
Fair enough. But the direction is clear. Stronger dollar. Rate differentials and AI investment flows are sucking capital into the US. The euro versus the dollar is getting crushed.
And that euro weakness? Yesterday we said sell Aussie dollar, sell euro is the same vibe. The dollar is just eating everything.
I'm going to push back here. The dollar at a 52-week high, everyone is long. Whenever consensus gets this crowded, I get nervous. And nobody's talking about emerging markets. A soaring dollar historically wrecks EM currencies in debt. That silence is deafening.
All right, Marie, that's a good point. But for now, momentum is with the dollar. The European bank story, though, that's where I think the real value is.
The banks?
European financials. Consolidation play.
Totally.
UniCredit raised its Commerzbank stake to 42.5% and reopened its offer. Santander just surpassed Inditex as Spain's most valuable company. European financials are finally consolidating, and the ETF is flat this week. Still cheap.
Commerzbank up only 1% year-to-date, trading at a discount to the takeover. That's a no-brainer arbitrage, buddy.
But regulatory approvals are still pending. That's the next catalyst. If Brussels blocks it, the trade unwinds fast. And UniCredit is near a 52-week high. Chasing it now is risky.
To be fair, the acquirer premium is discounted, but the sector rotation is real. Santander at 10 times forward earnings. Valuations are still undemanding.
Yeah, look, European banks have been hated for so long. Any consolidation story is a breath of fresh air. I just want to see those regulatory boxes ticked.
Italian banks leading a takeover in Germany? That's a plot twist even I didn't see coming.
It only took a decade of negative rates for them to make a move.
Fair enough.
The FT Lex argues European equities offer a peace dividend that US peers can't match. Europe's industry is so energy sensitive, any drop in oil from the Iran ceasefire is a direct margin boost.
So pure cyclicals, industrials, chemicals, these get a big lift. But I still like the AI trades. Peace dividend sounds nice, but is it really moving the needle against US tech earnings?
I'd say it's a catch-up trade, not a takeover. The European equities ETF is near its 52-week high and trading at 17, 18 times trailing earnings. It's still cheaper than the S&P, and this energy relief could catalyze a re-rating.
And the peace dividend is partial.
Nikkei Asia notes energy strain persists for Asia, so the European benefit is asymmetric. It's not priced in fully.
All right, you've got my attention. Peace dividend plus consolidation. Maybe Europe is having a moment. Oil is a mess, down over 8% this week on the ceasefire. But now Iran wants insurance fees for Hormuz passage. That's a sneaky toll that could keep energy costs elevated.
This is classic post-conflict brinkmanship. The FT reports Iran will require Tehran-approved insurance, adding cost and complexity. If that materializes, oil sell-off was overdone.
So traders are pricing in peace, but ignoring the fine print. The oil ETF is down 8% and way below its highs. But if insurance talks stall, oil could snap back.
And the Hormuz risk is underappreciated. Asian countries got relief, but they're not out of the woods. This is a structural supply chain risk.
All right, this is my jam. AbbVie buying Apogee Therapeutics for $11 billion. Biotech mergers and acquisitions is heating up. Apogee up 19% year to date, and the biotech ETF XBI up nearly 16%. Momentum is real.
But AbbVie is paying a huge premium, and their stock is down almost 5% this week. That dilution risk is why I'd hold AbbVie, not buy. The forward PE is 13 times, so maybe priced in, but I'm cautious.
13 times forward is cheap, and Big Pharma needs pipeline. The deal makes sense. Apogee as a target is a pure arbitrage, but I'd lean into the sector ETF, XBI. Near highs and still riding the wave.
Exactly, buddy. The sector is on fire. Mergers and acquisitions breeds more mergers and acquisitions. I'm bullish. Bitcoin down for a fourth straight day. DeFi coins leading losses. CoinDesk points to Strategy's preferred stock as a drag. But then Franklin Templeton proposes ETFs that turn corporate dividends into Bitcoin, a whole new demand lever.
The innovation side is real. But near-term technicals are ugly. Strategy's fallout could trigger more selling. I'm watching, not buying.
Crypto's having an identity crisis. It wants to be a risk asset, but also a hedge. These ETF filings keep the dream alive, though.
Give it time. Institutional on-ramps like that dividend to Bitcoin ETF are game changers. I'm not selling. Japan hitting record highs after the ceasefire? Bullish. But Nikkei Asia says energy strain caps it. And Thailand's largest hospital group planning an $800 million wellness hub? That's a long-term growth story.
Bangkok Dusit Medical is down nearly 6% year-to-date. That's a deep value play on medical tourism and aging demographics. I'd buy that dip.
And Indian banks raising $2.5 billion in dollar debt using an RBI swap. Smart. It cuts their funding costs, boosts margins. State Bank of India trading at 10 times earnings. That's interesting.
So here's what I'm taking away. The Fed's hawkishness is the gravitational center. Dollar at highs, gold at lows, bonds skirting around the bottom. But the crowded trades are TLT shorts and long dollars, a powder keg if anything shifts.
I agree. Any dovish hint and TLT rockets, but the no cuts message is solid. The cleaner play might be to fade the dollar by buying European financials. They benefit from consolidation and a peace dividend while being underowned.
So long, European banks? Short, long-duration treasuries? That's a pair trade I can get behind.
Exactly. The European financials ETF flat this week, despite these catalysts. TLT near its low. The divergence is screaming for a mean reversion.
UAFN? Oh, that's exactly why.
TLT.
Cleanest pair in the market. The missing story is emerging markets. The dollar surge could trigger a crisis, and nobody's watching. That's the tail risk.
All right, fear the silence. Noted.
As always, none of this is investment advice. These are ideas, not recommendations.
We're back tomorrow at 10 a.m. London time for another weekend edition. If you're just finding us, hit follow on Spotify or check investmentflash.com for the full digest with charts and sources.
Until then, keep your eyes on the dollar and those European banks.
And don't sleep on the EM risk, folks. Take care.